Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Pulse. Happy Tuesday to you. So glad that you're joining in. God bless you. Listen, if you're joining in for The Pulse for the first time, or this is like your 4,000th time, first of all, congratulations, whether it's your first or 4,000th, and we're so glad that you're here. In case you were looking where Pastor Troy is, y'all, Pastor Troy is in Uganda. A big old team of people from Open Door and TBM went. We got a picture for you right here. There's the crew at the airport about to go out. You're probably going to see some super familiar faces there. Pastor Troy's already smiling. He's been prayerfully building up for this trip, and something that we have, that God kind of changed plans a little bit on when the team was going, but they're going now and going purposefully and passionately. And Tell if you can put the picture up one more time in case you're wondering where you fit into this. This little spot, this little gap right here on the right side of the picture, you see that right there? That's where you can prayerfully join in. Yeah, we can just, you can Photoshop yourself in there and be a part of the team. But we've got Mindy and Pastor Daryl. And some familiar, say, Tiffany from our Spark team, and Barrett's going. Y'all, they're going to be opening up a school for the blind there. You probably heard Pastor Troy share some stories there about the great need for people there that challenges like so many people do. And they're going to go, and they're going to bring a kingdom solution for it. So thank you for praying for them. They're going to be gone for a couple weeks, and so you can be praying for them, add them to your prayer list. And if you're praying for Pastor Troy, I encourage you, you can take breaks, hydrate if you're praying for him. It's a good idea, but so glad that you're joining in wherever you may be joining us from. Hello to our moderators who are in the chat with us. Thank you all so much for serving and for praying. And y'all, I've got a few more announcements to share about things going on at TBM and Open Door and our all of our ODX partners. And then we're going to get into some Bible study. So if you want to go ahead, fill your coffee cup up. Mine is about 3/4 of the way full, which is a good start for me. And if you're around here and you live like we do, it's great if you have a warm cup of coffee and then you drink it and it stays warm. The number of times the past 4.5 years I've made a cup of coffee and been able to enjoy it at room temperature happens. So if that's you, you're in good company. God bless y'all. Next thing I want to share with y'all, if you missed Pastor Troy's sermon on Sunday about the God of breakthrough, I'd really encourage you to go and watch it. And a great thing today, if you're joining in for Bible study and you haven't watched it yet, you can actually participate in this Bible study. And then what I'm going to be doing is just continuing the thought, some follow through on what he talked about on Sunday, but some really, really good. Now listen, this sermon that Pastor Troy shared on Sunday, this is a result of this past trip whenever he went up to Wyoming and visited with some of our ODX partners. And it could be that some of y'all are watching right now. And the Lord really called Pastor Troy to hang back on some of the quote unquote fun things that they had planned and got his attention in a brand new way. And I'm always a big fan of any time Pastor Troy and the Lord spend one-on-one time together, because the results of it, there's such a history of times where he's given the Lord his full attention, and this was one of those times. And so he came in swinging. Listen, whenever I'm sharing, I usually try to hit at least a double, and I think Sunday was a big time, was a big home run. We have so many testimonies. So if you experience some testimony of how God's broken through the past couple of days, or something that you've been waiting for, you've learned that lesson that Pastor Troy shared on Sunday about that delay does not mean denial. That there is a breakthrough thing that needs to happen. It's a new place for faith to take place in your life. Then you enjoyed that on Sunday. And so I'd encourage you to go back and check that out. Next thing, and I'm a little partial, if I'm being honest, we did this one time last month, and we're going to continue doing it. Pastor Troy and Pastor Leanne wants to continue our next gen services. And so this Wednesday night, y'all, we're going to be giving some updates from our kids camp, from our student camp. I was blessed enough to have a front row seat to both of them. I still think I need to shower a few times to get whatever sticky thing was on me from kids camp. And I learned that camp is staying the same age and I am not. So I've got some testimonies of how I got to see God move in the lives of our kids and of our students. And we want to say thank you to everybody who went and served at both of those camps, both at student camp and kids camp. And so this Wednesday night, 7:00, guys, we're going to be sharing some camp reports. Our students are going to be releasing testimonies. Our kids are going to be sharing testimonies of how Jesus has spoken to them and led them to take their next steps. And then for the first time Wednesday night, y'all, Pastor Frankie's going to be preaching, which I'm really excited about. Y'all, yeah. Anytime you say Pastor Frankie's name, that happens even if you're not in the studio. So you text him and that's a text alert. But guys, I'm so excited, and he's got such a heart for the Lord, and he's definitely an example of someone who's been so energized by the Lord. He's got such a great vision, and he's so excited to be here and be with y'all. So if this is your first time getting to hear Pastor Frankie, then you know you're going to be in for a real treat and you're going to be blessed. So join us tomorrow night, 7:00, for our midweek service. You can join us on ODX, on YouTube, and it's going to be great. We're going to have some praise and worship, again, testimonies, and then Pastor Frankie's going to be preaching. It's real, guys. So listen, if you're at Sonic or you're driving through the car wash and you say his name and you hear that, just know that's totally normal. So guys, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining in. Again, hey, if you have any questions during this Bible study, have any prayer requests, I want to invite you to call. Y'all, some of you, many of you know this. If you're new here, maybe you don't. Y'all, we have a 24-hour, 7 days a week prayer call center that's ready to connect with you. So if you have prayer requests, you have praise reports, I always share with y'all, listen, we love the prayer request, but if you have a praise report, if God really has shown some faithfulness and some breakthrough in your life, we want to hear all about it. So give us a call, 877-413-0888. Let us know how we can partner with you in prayer. And also, guys, like Pastor Troy says, get in this fight with us. Y'all, there's a global mission going on. It's been going on for over 30 years, rescuing kids out of sex trafficking, really bringing the kingdom to all parts of the earth, but also spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in a very real way. Our team in Uganda is going to do a whole bunch of that, and I'm already excited to hear the testimonies that they're going to come back with. So be praying for them. All right, well, let's get into it. Y'all, if you remember back from New Beginnings Conference at the beginning of the year, the Heart of David New Beginnings Conference. Again, if you're an ODX member and maybe you didn't participate in that conference, you can go back and check that out. But Pastor Troy and I, on the first of the year, started talking about the Heart of David, and it really led me in a big way to Psalm 23 again. And so if you participated in New Beginnings Conference a couple of years prior, Psalm 23 was a big deal. It carried into 24, into 25, and again this year. And there's a really big reason for that, because one of the things that God's doing is he is reminding us that Jesus is our good shepherd. And so we've been looking for, even at Rain Retreat, our women's retreat this past weekend, I share with them a few passages from Psalm 23 and in John chapter 10. We looked at a great story in Acts 19, and that's available on ODX as well. And so, y'all, we're going to start off this Bible study by reading Psalm 23 verse by verse. And then today and tomorrow, what I want to share with y'all is that because he is the God of the breakthrough, that we really have a couple of options on how we want to experience the Good Shepherd. We're going to look at one passage today after we read Psalm 23 about how Jesus cleared and emptied a tomb. Some of you may be very familiar with that. And then tomorrow, what we're going to walk through is Jesus clearing and breaking through in a temple. And some of you may already have some Bible story animated pictures of how you studied that in Sunday school or vacation Bible school of Jesus fashioning a whip and flipping tables. But I want to walk y'all through Psalm 23, John chapter 2, John chapter 10, and then also see how the voice of the shepherd is such a big deal. And here's the thing, guys. If we do not listen to God's voice as our shepherd, what we will do is we will begin to tolerate another voice, and it's going to lead us down a whole different path than if we let the shepherd lead us. So Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk in the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Now listen, if you're a Bible underliner, awesome. I'm in the same camp that you are. If you're a Bible highlighter, great. In the same camp that you are. Listen, if you've never had a passage of scripture that you've underlined in your Bible, like, where do I start? Where do I start making notes? Where do I start writing these things? One of the things that I'll do is if I read a passage on a specific date and that date has some significance, I will write the date at the top of that. And there's several passages where I'll have multiple dates where I can remember that that was a big marking time. It came in a big season, a big memorable day. Like the passages that I read the day that my daughter was born, I've got her birth date above those passages. My first day at Open Door Church, April 3rd, 2022, there are passages that I read because I was like, what is going on here? What have I said yes to? And so I would just encourage you, Psalm 23 is one of those passages that every time you read it at a significant part of your life, that you can just add the date. I've got a Bible that has journaling lines on the sides and the margins, but there's so many different Bibles out there and so many different styles. I would just encourage you to be somebody who lets the pages breathe, interact with the physical pages of your Bible, underline, highlight, write notes, write dates, write things. A lot of Bibles come with note sections in the back. You can get a journal that you carry with you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying if you want to take the next step in your Bible study and being connected to your Bible, this is a great way to do it. Psalm 23 is loaded with six verses of all the benefits of being one of God's sheep. Saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And then it just outlines over the next six verses all the benefits. It's benefits like that he leads us near calm waters by peaceful streams. Listen, no matter what challenge, no matter what opportunity it is that God leads you to, you should have a peace about it, even if it's challenging. Not a peace that the challenge is too much, but a peace that if God led you to it, then he's going to be right there with you. Another one of my favorites there is that even in the darkest valley, guys, because Jesus is our good shepherd, if we're close to him, what we can get to the point where it doesn't even matter what's happening on the other side of the valley. Like we're close by his side. We're looking over at another situation going on. Y'all, all hell can be breaking loose. World War III can be breaking out on the other side of the valley. And if we're close to him, one of the benefits is that he's going to protect and lead and guide us. Isn't that incredible? Hey, in the chat, one thing that I'd like for you to do is I would really like for you to go ahead, and the moderators are going to share these with me. I would love for you to share with me which of those six verses stands out the most to you. Listen, you may be like, hey, right now, what I'm going through, how I'm living, the things I'm praying for, the breakthrough that I'm praying for, the things that I'm believing, I'm not just hoping, I'm believing what God has said. It's all six verses, Ryan. You share that. But if there's one verse in particular, I will tell you right now, the one that stands out the most for me in my life currently is he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. In between student camp and kids camp, I went up to Montana and spoke at a family retreat in Kalispell, Montana. And it was a quick blitz up there, a quick blitz back. And I had to leave student camp, get to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport quickly, get on that first flight, fly to Denver, get back. And I was so rushed with everything I had to do in like a 36-hour period. Y'all, I got to DFW. I was not checking a bag. I was only going to be gone for a day, not checking a bag. Got through there. I loaded up my ticket on my phone. Scan it. Usually I print it. I was like, I'm in a hurry. I just loaded it up. I had it on there. And you know, I got in the security line. I started walking through the security line and I don't know if the cell signal stopped on my cell phone. I don't know if I just got in like this weird space, but the screen went completely dark. The United site is nothing to shot at United, right? Don't focus on that part, but I'm starting to like load it. And it's just a constant black screen over and over again. And I'm like, I don't have time to get out of the security line, go all the way back, restart this whole process, get back in line, load my ticket. And so you can imagine I'm going through the queue here at each turn. And I'm like, maybe it'll load here. Maybe it'll load here. Maybe it'll load here. Yo, I get all the way up to like, I'm next in line to go up to TSA for them to take my picture, give them all this stuff, scan my ticket. And it's not loading. I get all the way up there. I get all the way up to the booth. The next, I'm staring at the security officer. I'm like, I'm about to explain it to them. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, I have my ticket. I like, it will not. And as soon as I get up there, my ticket loads. I have no idea. I hit refresh one more time. Once I get up there and it refreshed, and the look on my face, I think told the whole story. And the security officer, she looked at me and she was like, are you okay, sir? I was like, I am stressed out. I was like, I got to get here pretty quick. I was like, I didn't have time. My ticket wouldn't load. I was going to have to get, I gave her this whole story and y'all, she looked at me and this is what she said. She goes, hey, she was like, you were not going to be late. And I was like, well, I know that now because my ticket loaded. And she goes, no. She was like, you just explained it to me. She was like, if it wasn't, she was like, I would have taken care of it. She's like, we would have taken care of it and made sure that you got through. And I was like, you've got to be kidding. I sat here for like stressed out for 10 minutes trying to get this thing to load. I get up there and I get reminded that if I just explained what was going on, surely there's somebody that had a higher clearance level than I did that was going to make sure. I had no idea that I was being looked after that way. Now, the focus isn't on TSA security. The focus isn't on her. It was the reminder where I was like, hey, wherever it is that I'm being lined up, God's going to lead me on a right path. And I think sometimes we just tend to forget that. That we've got a shepherd that whenever he's taking us on a path, it may look weird to us. We may look under-resourced. We may look like we're alone. We may look like, guys, can I tell you one of the biggest things in ministry that I deal with is I think of previous people that I served on and I'm like, man, I would love for that person to be with me right now. Or man, I would love to be able to reach out to this person and have them a part of this. And I'll start thinking in terms of teams. Like, do we have the right team here? Instead of just trusting that God's put the right people in the right place for the right purpose, having the benefit of Jesus being our good shepherd is just that. So that's the verse that stands out for me. If you could, join us in the chat. Let me know which of those six verses stand out for you. I'd love to hear all about it. Now, If you want to mark Psalm 23, we're going to move to the book of John. And what I want to show you is how Psalm 23, being present in the Gospel of John, how Jesus fulfills this in a big way. And because it's in red letters, guys, not only do we know it's true, it's that we know we can take everything that God says very seriously. And if Jesus says it, we can believe it. So John chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 11, okay? Psalm 23 starts off and says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." John chapter 10, I'm on page 1,448, if that helps. Maybe you have the same Bible that I do. I always like, maybe there's one person that's like, finally, some pastor has the same Bible I do. I don't have to check the table of contents. 1,448, I'm about a third of the way down in verse 11, okay? Jesus is talking, John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Okay, Psalm 23 starts off and says that the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." There's the dots connected. If that was all that we had, that should be enough. Now, it's because of that, and because we are New Testament believers, that we have the Holy Spirit as a part of it, our entire story is now written through Jesus. Yo, you can read Psalm 23 differently than whenever it was written. You can read Psalm 23 differently because you know Jesus, that whenever you read Psalm 23, you can read it through the lens of being close to Jesus, because he says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." Y'all, we are not without a shepherd. One of the biggest reminders that God's reminding his church, not just Open Door, but the global church, one of the biggest things that he's reminding us is that we are not without a shepherd. He's protecting you from yourself. There's a good reason for that. He's your shepherd. He's giving churches ideas that they've never had before to reach their local community. There's a good reason for that, because the good shepherd is speaking, because Jesus is speaking. He is reminding us, hey, y'all are not without a shepherd. You need to stop acting. You need to stop speaking like you're without a shepherd. Y'all, this was my story in 2024 and 2025. Ryan, you are up against it. You are completely outmatched without me. You do not need to act like you do not have a shepherd who cares. You do not need to act like a shepherd who can't protect you from this person or this person or this thing. And you definitely have a shepherd that can protect you from yourself. Guys, I don't need any help getting into trouble. I don't need anybody else to invite me into it. If you put me in a room, I can start having all kinds of thoughts. I have a shepherd who protects me from myself whenever I need it. And so do you. Praise God. So Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." How cool is that? Hey, pastors, let's turn an ear to this in verse 12. "A hired hand will run whenever he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep." On Saturday at the women's retreat, at the Rain retreat, one of the things I shared is just because we have a shepherd, as pastors, we serve as under shepherds. And the healthiest way that we're going to know how to be an under shepherd is to look and see how Jesus shepherds people and then do that. Like, if our pastoring, if our under shepherding doesn't look like Jesus is shepherding, we have a huge problem. If you read through Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, you look at the way Jesus interacted with the disciples and people that he was around. Jesus's model and Jesus's example was that he did three big things that I can see from scripture. The first thing is that he provided for people. A good shepherd is going to make sure that their flock is provided for. The second thing is that a good shepherd protects his flock. Jesus protected them from other people. He protected them from stray thoughts. He protected them from sour attitudes. He protected an entire city that James and John wanted to call fire down on because they were bad-mouthing their shepherd. So a good shepherd is always looking to protect his flock. And the third thing, y'all, which I shared on Saturday, is my favorite about being a student pastor, is that I'm providing for them. I'm protecting them at all costs. But the third thing that I absolutely love doing is promoting the flock. Not promoting them going to Cidercade or Alley Cats or the Ranger game, not promoting them in that way, but seeing them go from one level to the next, becoming more powerful, a more real version of them connected to Jesus, and it come out in their speech, in their actions, in their relationships, in their school, in their sports, in all of their activities, they are becoming more and more powerful, and they're becoming more and more like Jesus, which is promotion. So when Jesus says, "Hey, a hired hand will run, I'm not running," that's a good shepherd. A good shepherd is going to be willing to protect the flock, no matter if somebody gets something misinterpreted, not willing to hurt somebody's feelings for the sake of protecting the flock. We have a good shepherd. In verse 14, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." One of the things I shared on Saturday is we're so familiar with the story of Jesus of telling a story of a shepherd who lost one sheep out of 100 and left the 99 to find the one. And one thing that I've become so curious about, listen, I will totally agree that Jesus will go nonstop, full tilt, all accounts to go after the one who's strayed away. But I'm also, y'all, I'm starting to become really curious. I think one of the things that God gets out of that is that he has all 100 sheep together. I think one of the things for him is that he gets to sit there and see that the entire flock is together. What's the message on that? Y'all, 2026 is a huge opportunity for the church to not have the same rules, on how they reach their local community, to not have the same rules on how they do this or how they do that, but that the entire church becomes under one standard, and the standard being Jesus, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, that he's the champion, he's the author, he's the perfecter, he wants the whole flock together. So if you're out there and you're starting to feel this pull to be a part of a community and be more connected, maybe you're realizing that following Jesus is not a Lone Ranger type sport, that it's way more of a team sport, that it is a solo effort. Hey, all that is, hey, it's not him condemning you, it's him bringing you into what he wants, that you have one shepherd with one flock. Be a part of the one flock, have one shepherd, and get involved in this. Now let's shift gears a little bit. And what I want to get into is, one, continue what Pastor Troy said on Sunday, but I want us to see how this good shepherd showed up in a breakthrough situation and how he was able to step in, see breakthrough, and how he cleared a tomb. Before tomorrow, we're going to see him clear a temple. But before we do that, let's watch him clear a tomb, okay? You don't have to go far. Literally the next chapter of him talking about that my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Psalm 23, he leads me, he guides me, he protects me, he prepares things for me. All the benefits of being a sheep, we're going to see it play out in John chapter 11. All right, so on the next page, John chapter 11, verse 1. All right, story time. A real thing that happened. We can't forget that. Hey, sometimes, y'all, just instead of studying, and pastors, I encourage you, don't just read the Bible to prepare your next sermon. Please, for the love of God. Sometimes just read it just to have fun reading it. Get it inside of you so that what's inside of you can come out. That's all we're going to do. Let's just read the story. So, John chapter 11, verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the same Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." Think of it in terms of this. You've got three sheep. You've got one sheep who's sick, and you've got two sheep who identify this sick sheep, and they're reaching out, and they're like, "Hey, shepherd, we got a problem. Bad, like just over and over. Hey, we're trying to get message to the shepherd so that he can come and fix this. Verse 4, here's where it gets really interesting for me. But when Jesus heard about this, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death." Hey, he already knew which sheep they were talking about. He already had a relationship. He already had vision for that sheep and says, "No, it happened for the glory of God so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. What Pastor Troy said on Sunday, hey, delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. How big of a delay for you to reach out to the shepherd and the shepherd say, "Hey, I love you. I'm going to hang out for 2 more days. Now, there's so many different theories. There's so many different prayers. One of my mentors says, hey, God's already spoken. Everything else we talk about outside of his word is just commentary. He's already spoken here. So we're going to get a little imaginative, get a little creative. We're going to dive into the story. Holy Spirit's going to lead us. I can sense it right now that y'all are having more fun with this story than you've had before. It says this in verse 8. He says, let's go back to Judea. Verse 8, but his disciples objected. "Rabbi, teacher," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going to go there again?" What did he say in John chapter 10? Hey, I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to lay my life down willingly. I'm not going to run from danger. What did he say? We just read it. I'm not going to run. A hired hand will run. a hired hand will start counting things up and be like, well, I'm not going to go back there. I was not liked. I was not well received. I know there's a great need there. I know there's a sheep that really needs me to show up, but I'm out. Just doing it for the paycheck. That's not Jesus. And he shows it right here in the next chapter, y'all. How incredible is this? And Jesus replies, there are 12 hours of daylight every day, and during the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world, but at night, there's danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciple said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought that Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Spell it out. The sheep are like, hey, we know you're the good shepherd. We kind of want to get logical about this whole thing. And he's like, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. So come, let's go and see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. They had just heard what he had to say in John chapter 10. It's like, where did Thomas get that? He was just listening. He was just listening to Jesus talk. Amazing. Verse 17, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Again, delay is not denial. You need a breakthrough. There's going to be a tug. There's going to be a little bit of a pull here. There's going to be an entire opening, a carving, a chiseling that has to happen so that faith can break through in a new way. That's all in that sermon. We want to go back and listen to Pastor Troy on Sunday. Then he says, only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. Many people. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, here comes, you got one sheep staying inside, one that's coming out to meet the shepherd, and says, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Where'd she get that? Wonder if word had traveled for how he talked about being a good shepherd. She probably had this buried deep. She's pulling from experience with him. Isn't that incredible? Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. And Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who believes in me, who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I've always believed that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Look at that. Sheep helping sheep. Isn't that great? Guys, hey, for the rest of 2026, for the love of Jesus, here's one thing that I would encourage you to do. Hey, instead of going after your own promotion, would you be willing to spend a few months making sure that everybody else gets theirs? Watch what happens. Watch what happens in the church whenever we start making sure that each other are provided for and protected and promoted more than looking out for our own provision, our own protection, and our own promotion. Watch what happens. Watch what happens when the level of selflessness gets injected into the families and into the church. Like, hey, I want to make sure that that person gets everything that God has for them. Listen, here's the one thing I can see from scripture, just in this story. If you make sure that everybody, if you make it your purpose, if you're like, I want to make sure that everybody gets the absolute best that God has for them, you can believe that God's going to take care of you. Trying to meet your own needs is the first ejection seat that you take out of Psalm 23. If you're going to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, and then you're going to go and try to claw and scrap and fight for everything you think you need, you've just punted after the first verse of Psalm 23. It's alive right here in John chapter 10 and 11. When Jesus saw her weeping, so Jesus stayed outside the village, verse 30, stayed outside the village, the place where Martha met him. When the people were still in the house consoling Mary, saw her leave hastily, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. Just like sheep. Where's that one going? Let's all go. It's literally what's happening. It's amazing. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. Now, again, today we're going to talk about him clearing a tomb. Tomorrow we're going to talk about him clearing a temple. Deep anger from Jesus in both things. We're going to talk about the differences. And he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. Where have you put the sheep? Where have you put that one? Listen, yeah, there's nothing from here that I could prove this. How incredible would it be if it was Jesus and 99 people that had been there mourning? You count the disciples in, Mary and Martha, and all the people that had came. How cool would it have been if he was surrounded by 99 people and Lazarus is in the tomb? That he's got 99 and there's one in there and he's like, hey, where is that one that would have made this a full flock? Where is that one at? Again, I can't prove it. I'm not saying for sure. Please don't be like, Ryan said there's 99. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, how cool would it be if he tells this story about a shepherd having a lost sheep, leaving the 99 to find the one? He's surrounded by 99 people who are locked in on the shepherd. He's like, I'm going to go after that one. Where'd you put him? Where's he at? Jesus was still angry whenever he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Hey, here's one thing about God showing up and breakthrough in our lives. Whenever God starts showing evidence that he's arriving on the scene to break through in something, let's try to not talk him out of it, shall we? When God starts doing things his way, whenever we're praying for change in our churches and our homes, whenever we start seeing godly evidence of the shepherd showing up in a real way, can we please, for the love, stop trying to talk him out of how he's doing it? It's like, one of the things that they say about student, yo, if you check it, I'm probably the most underqualified student pastor on the planet. Like, if you check it, even whenever I first, like, there's so much, and there are people, they make a comment right here. They're like, Ryan, this is what they say. Ryan, your manure is the worst smelling, but we can't deny what's happening in our students. I always take that. I'm like, praise God. Praise God, because it's not my student ministry. It's not Pastor Troy's student ministry. It's not Open Door student ministry. It belongs to Jesus. He's overseeing it. Listen, right here, Jesus is showing up. He's about to deliver on everything that the two sisters have prayed for, that everybody's crying about, wailing for change. Jesus shows up and he begins to break through in their situation. And the first thing that gets met is a sheep trying to talk him out of how he's going to do it. That's not a shot at Martha. Guys, that's an invitation for us that whenever God is moving, we get on board with how he's moving. Well, how can we know if it's him? Hey, he's going to make us lay down in green pastures. He's going to lead us beside still waters. He's going to guide us along right paths. He's going to prepare a table for us in the face of big time adversity. We're going to see the signs of the good shepherd being active that's been present for thousands of years. Isn't this awesome? This is a real story. Let's finish up. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. This is straight out of John chapter 10. The Father and I are one. He loves me. I love him. I want the sheep to be connected to him just like I'm connected to him. Thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here. What did he say in John chapter 10? My sheep know my voice. It was all about listening to what it was that he was speaking. So he's saying this out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, a moment, there's a sheep in that tomb. There's a sheep in that tomb that he wants. And whoa, watch, he didn't come in there guns blazing and physically pick him up and carry him out. It was the voice of the good shepherd that he cleared the tomb with. Watch what happens. Jesus shouts, Lazarus, come out. Hey, I know one of my sheep's in there, the one that I'm looking for. You better come out. With his voice says, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. And here's where we land. Guys, if you've been praying for breakthrough and God has shown up in a situation in 2026, or he's showing up in your circumstance, in a relationship, finances, physically, mentally, emotionally, those of you that run businesses, however it is that God's showing, look at what happens whenever Jesus shows up and there's breakthrough. You literally break through and come out of the situation that you're in. It is very possible that you may still have indications that you've been in a situation where God had to show up and break through. But don't mistake that you're still in it just because you walked out of it and you still have some physical evidence that you've been in it. What's the point? Hey, if God breaks through in your life and you look tired for a few weeks, that's normal. If God breaks through in your life and you've gone from not trusting people and now you're learning to trust people in a whole new way, there may still be some grave clothes that you need to get rid of. There may still be some indications where you feel like your hands and your feet are bound. You're not. He's broken through. You moved out of the tomb. The shepherd has cleared the tomb. The sheep is out. There still may need to be some follow through. What does that mean? Guys, one of the best ways that you can give thanks and praise to Jesus for breaking through in your situation is also letting him walk you through the next chapter of you're not in the situation you're in, you're in a new one. Guys, honestly, it's part of my testimony. Sometimes it takes just as much time to live being healed as it did contending for your healing. Sometimes it takes just as much time to just get used to the fact that you're not heavy and you're not oppressed anymore. It's like, what is this? Oh, sunshine, my bad. I haven't even paid attention to that for years. It's totally normal. Guys, please hear the word of the Lord on this. And even right now, as some of you are listening to this, I can sense the Spirit so strong. Some of you, God's broken through in your life and you've moved out. But because of some things, like just some effects that you had in there, you think that you're still in it. You're not in it. You just need to shed some of that stuff that was a part of your life whenever you were still in the tomb. He's spoken you. He called you out. Let him take the grave clothes off. Look at what he says. Unwrap them. Let them go. Unwrap them. Let them go. Guys, we have a good shepherd. We really do. Everybody that's on that trip going to Uganda, they have a good shepherd. They're taking the message that there's a good shepherd in Jesus that absolutely loves and cares for them. The benefits of being one of his sheep, as found in Psalm 23, each of those six verses outlining that, they're taking that message. Starting a school, hey, it's for that message to get shared that Jesus is a good shepherd. He absolutely loves the sheep. He is not a hired hand, and he will go to great lengths to get every single one of his sheep because he wants the flock all together. Guys, I'm so excited that you joined us today. Give us some things in the comments. Have any questions, any ideas? If you'd like to insult me, you can put those in those too. That would be fun to read. But we'd love for you to pray with us, pray for that team in Africa, pray for what's going on. And I would love if you would join us for our Next Gen service tomorrow night, 7:00. Guys, God bless you. I'd like to pray for you, and then we'll close up. God, thank you for each of these, Father, that you have totally called them out by name. Jesus, you have an incredible plan for them. Jesus, thank you for being so faithful all the time. God, thank you that our missteps and our misdirection and our need for interpretation and our need for more information and our need for understanding, God, thank you so much for being patient with us as we're like, hey, are you sure that you said this? God, hey, are you sure that you're doing? Thank you for being so patient with us. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You're not just a shepherd. You're not just one that's a stand-in. You're the good one. God, help us. Help me, help our church, help our entire community to get closer to you and to remember every single day that we are not sheep without a shepherd. God, help us to read these Bible stories with incredible clarity and incredible excitement and incredible thankfulness. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for helping us understand what that we're reading. They would just be words on our page if you didn't help us understand what we're reading. I pray for each of our friends, wherever they are, all across the globe. God, I thank you for the people who are down the street. I thank you for people who are on the other side of the planet. God, thank you for each of them. God, I pray that you would bless their ministries. I pray that they would be people that understand that ministry begins when somebody's willing to surrender. And I thank you for how many surrendered people we have as a part of our community that aren't surrendering to just a cause or to just a purpose. Jesus, they're surrendering to you, and it's the best way to live. God, I pray that you would bless them, lead them, and guide them like only you can until we see each other again. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you all so much for joining us on The Pulse today. So excited to see you all back here tomorrow. And guys, God bless you. Be praying for our team from Africa. We'll see you tomorrow.